88.1.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast. Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Chapter 16, commencing at verse 25. Are we all there? It is the Word of God. And at midnight, that's enough, you may be seated. I want to talk about God works the night shift. Thank you, Urshas. Some people live their lives with ease and sunshine. Some people have never been bewildered or bruised, depressed or stressed. Some people never had to fill out a death certificate yet, to stand over the grave of a loved one that was once by your side. Some people live with no worries, no cares, no bothers, no setbacks, no setups, no hardships, no heartbreaks, no frustrations, no friction from family and friends, no pressures, no pain, no peril, no plight, no problems. But some of us deal with the nights. Some of us have our nights. And we have come to discover that we have experienced more trouble at night than joy in the daytime. And I'm quite sure that I'm not the only one sitting here on a sunny day, but you're waiting on the sun to shine. Because in your own personal life, you are dealing with some form of night. And my brothers and sisters, if you have not experienced these nights that I'm talking about, just keep living. Because there's three ways of life. Either you're heading into a night, or you're presently in a night, or you've just been delivered from a night. But I come to tell you, the nights are coming. Preacher, what are you talking about, nights? Nights are symbolic to stress, heartaches, trials, tribulations, people lying on you, putting your name out on the street, trying to do good to everyone, but seem like you're only getting evil in return. Everybody, it seems like they're living good, but all around you is just trouble and frustration. But I come to tell you that the good news is God works the night shift. He just don't clock out at night, but God works the night shift. And aren't you glad he don't only operate in the day? Because those in the day are living well. Those in the day are full of joy. But I come to tell you, I'm dealing with a night. And the God that's taking care of y'all in the day, he works the night shift. The same God that's bringing you joy in the day, he can bring me joy in the night. I wonder, can I just get somebody to testify before we dig in the text and say, God has been working in my night. I have not been delivered from my night yet, but God is still working. And that's praise enough for me right now, even while I'm in my night, just to know I'm not in this thing all by myself. The same God that made the sun shine and the moon to hang is right there to comfort me while I'm dealing with my night. And those of you who are enjoying your days, don't laugh at me because I'm in the night. Because one day your sun is going to refuse to shine. And you're going to wonder how you're going to make it. And it's going to take a person like me that's been delivered through a night when you get in it to tell you what to do. devil tries to convince us that God clocks out at night. He tries to tell us that when midnight arrives, we're all by ourselves. And if God doesn't take care of our situation before midnight, then it cannot be taken care of. That's what Satan tries to convince us. But Paul and Silas found themselves in a difficult prison of oppression and suffering. And in that prison, they experienced the great grace of God. They received everything they needed to transform a prison of pain into a prison of praise. I wish I had somebody to testify. Even while you're going through it, God will give you what you need to make it. And see, those of you who have never had a night and you've been handed a silver spoon all your life, you can't appreciate really God's blessings. It's going to take those who have been without. Is there anybody in here with me? Say, I'm in that been without crowd. We had grits and gravy because we didn't have meat to eat with it. But when I did get meat, I appreciated God for it. How many remember, I'm talking to the older warriors now, when it would rain, you had to go across the house with pots. Not to cook, but just to catch the rain because of the holes that was in the roof. But see, grandmama wasn't worried about the holes that was in the roof. She was praising God for the roof she had over her head. Even if it had holes in it, it was what God provided. And here you are, all insulated in your house. Nothing is leaking. And you won't even give God a thumbs up in church. I wish I had somebody to testify and say, he deserves my praise. And if my praise is getting on your nerves this morning, you better find another pew, because I didn't come here to please you. I come here to praise him. Here, as we dig into the text, let's find, write this down. Let's find the purpose of the night. What caused this night for Paul and Silas? Well, you would discover that there was a little girl that had the spirit of divination. That means that with the evil spirits that were inside of her, she was able to foretell the future. And people were making money off her. She was an old biblical fortune teller. She was like some of these people today, like Miss Cleo was. Some of y'all sent her your money, asking her, do you know where my husband is? Now, you live in the same house, and you don't know where he is. She stay across the world. How in the world she's going to know? But that's how this lady was, and that's how they made money off of her. She had that spirit, and the word divination is the practice of seeking knowledge of the future by supernatural means. And so people would line, and they would come, tell me my future, when I'm going to die, am I ever going to strike it rich, where will I go from here? And she was able to tell them, not saying that what she was saying was true, but they just believed it to be true. So they were paying their money. They weren't giving it to the church. They was giving it to the people that were using that. Let me say, they weren't giving it to God. Uh-oh. They weren't giving it to the one who really knows the future. They weren't in the synagogues giving it to the one who holds the future in the palm of his hand. But yet they were trusting her. And one day she ran across Paul and Silas. Verse 17, you will discover that she was used by people, but somehow she still recognized God. Look what she said in verse 7. The same followed Paul and Silas, crying that these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Wait a minute. She was possessed by a spirit of divination, but yet she had sense enough to recognize God and God's people. Let me back the train up. Verse 17, she was possessed by a spirit of divination. People was using her, but she had sense enough to recognize God and God's people. Y'all ain't getting what I'm saying. You ain't possessed with nothing but yourself, and you still come in God's house, won't recognize God nor God's people. That's why I get excited the way I get excited, because when I think about the goodness of the Lord, and all that the Lord has done for me. See, you don't have to cheerlead me in the praise. You don't have to say one bit, three bits, six bits of dollars. I already know what God has done for me. Preacher, I need proof there of God's being good. You want proof? I'm going to give you three reasons. He woke you up this morning. Number two, he woke you up this morning. Number three, he woke you up. Then when she discovered what was happening, verse 17 says, she followed them. Is an indication she left the ones that were using her and started following Paul and Silas. Y'all may not clap on this one. To really expect God to do something in your night, you might have to change partnership. People you walking with is keeping you in the night. God want to deliver you from the night, but you got to walk away from people who delight in the night and not the light of God. And there are some people you just got to distance yourself from. Now, I need to talk to women, one or two of you, that really have walked away from some folk. And don't you feel better that you did? Sometimes you walk away and say, man, I don't even miss them. And when they try to call you, not today. She changed her partnership. And when she changed her partnership, look what Paul and Silas told her in verse 18, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And in that same hour, she was delivered. Oh, y'all missing your praise cue. See, I missed y'all last Sunday, so I'm going to take my time right now. Watch this. She had to change partnership to be delivered from what was holding her down. And sisters, ow, if he ain't doing you no good, if your boo keeping you boo-hooing, you might need to change partnership. Brothers, if she hollering about she too high maintenance, you might need to change your partnership. I know it ain't going to be too many shouting on that. Look at y'all scared to look at her now. Look at him scared to look at him now. Amen. She was delivered. Her partnership was changed. And the ones that were using her targeted Paul and Silas. When I was in the street, brothers, don't leave me on this limb by myself. Come on now. When I was in the street, there were two major things that would get you killed. Mess with a man's family and mess with his money. Look at y'all and got so saved on me. Paul and Silas mess with their money. They didn't care about this girl, but they knew that was a reduction in their income. And now they want to bring Paul and Silas before the foe. You have the purpose of the night is because they did good. Now here's the problem of the night. Comes because they interrupted Satan's agenda. Paul and Silas, now, verses 19 to 23, are falsely accused by selfish men who cared about nothing but money. These men did not care about the poor, the demon-possessed girl. They only cared about what they can get out of her. And my brothers and sisters, there are some people like that. They don't care about you. They don't care how you're living. Just want to get what they can get out of you. They were not above lying and scheming to extract revenge on Paul and Silas. And look at the accusations. These false accusations about their men turned Paul and Silas. They turned on them like a bunch of rabid dogs. Put them out in the marketplace and in public and humiliated them and beat them profusely because their money was taken away. And the Bible says, and they hauled them and cast them into prison. The word cast there means to throw something with no concern where it lands. They cast them and didn't care how they landed. They arrested them, beaten them like common criminals, and threw them in the inner prison. And all they were guilty of was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever been there? Got in trouble for doing good. Long as you were doing bad and doing your own thing, it seemed like nothing happened to you. But soon as you start doing good by people, all hell began to break loose. They thrust them into miserable accommodations. They handed them a jailer to watch over them, and if they were to escape, he would pay for it with his life. Here they are in the inner prison. Watch this. Here's their miserable accommodations. They are in the inner prison. They're in a dark, dank, defiled place full of human feces and waste. They are sitting there bound and chained. Their hands are locked. Their feet are locked in a sitting position. Their feet is through a piece of wood that hold their ankles shut, and their hands are bound. So they're sitting like this in a dank, dark, defiled inner prison filled with human feces and waste, and they are there for preaching God's word. But Brother West, I didn't see where they gave invitations to a pity party. I didn't see in the text where they start complaining, God, why are you doing me like this? I didn't see in the text where they start blaming the church folk for what they're going through. And I'm getting tired and sick and sick and tired of people blaming church folk for staying outside of the church. People blaming preachers. Oh, the preachers ain't no good. The people. Well, who say we were? Who say we were perfect? Baby, I'm not perfect. I'm on the road to perfection. I pray and I need God's forgiveness and washing of cleansing every day just like you need it. But I'm not using that for an excuse not to come to God's house. Now listen, the COVID-19 is subsiding a little. We need to get back to church. I'm sick and tired of people saying it's too dangerous to go to church, but we standing in Walmart holding a conversation. I wish I had somebody to testify. Here they were in this disgusting, dangerous dungeon. They had nobody to talk with. But here, the magistrates and the jailers must have thought God clocked out at night. Because if you notice, if them to be into the marketplace and to be beaten, it had to be in the daytime for the people to witness it. Watch this. Once they got into the inner prison, the sun was still shining outside. But they didn't call on God while the sun was shining. Paul and Silas said, we're going to wait till the darkest hour. We're going to show y'all that God works the night shift. And we're not going to wait. We're not going to call on him now. We're just going to sit here and look at these miserable accommodations and know that we hadn't done anything wrong. And so here they are. They're sitting there. We got the purpose of the night, the problem of the night, and then finally here is the presence in the night. While they were shackled, one song and one prayer. Now you have a lot of preachers trying to say which one did it. I don't know. But I know they sung and they prayed. What they sung, I don't know. What was in the prayer, I don't know. But all I can tell you is what the word said. They sung and they prayed. Watch this. Here it is. They started doing the same thing at night that they were doing during the day. And see, the problem with you, you allow Satan to take away what you do during the day that you won't do during the night. So while the day, while your sun was shining in your life, you walking in the church, ooh, the Lord is good. Oh, I will serve the Lord the rest of my days because everything's going well. So God said, I'm going to allow a night to come your way and see where you still say the same thing. And see, nothing changes what God has been to me. Day or night, I can still say he's good. Day or night, I can still say he's a healer. Day or night, I can still say if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side day or night. They begin to pray. Because I believe in my mind that Paul, he being an expert, educated man in scripture, I do believe he would start pulling a page from David. 46, Psalms 46 and 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Then he being a biblical scholar, he probably pulls something from Isaiah 43 and 2, say, when thou passest through the water, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, it will not overflow you. When you walkest through the fire, you will not be burned, and it will not even kindle upon your head. But then Paul may have begun to pull more scriptures from David, 8 Psalms 18 and 6, in my distress, I called on the Lord. I cried unto the Lord, my God. He heard my voice and out of his temple. Here it is, y'all. My cry came before him and he heard my plea. But then he stood up to pull something out of David. Psalms 50 and 15. And the day I call on you in the day of trouble, you will deliver me and I'll glorify you. And as they prayed, as they sung, jailhouse began to move. Y'all missing it. Y'all missing it. Watch this. They prayed and sung in the night. And since God works the night shift, in Isaiah 6, in the day he moved the temple and the doorposts, and the same God that moved those inanimate objects began to move the prison. As they began to pray and sing, the prison began to rock. Y'all ain't getting what I'm saying. When praises go up, something got to rock. When praises go up, something got to move. And it's something wrong with you that God can move a prison. God can move doorposts, but he can't move you. Something is wrong. They begin to pray and sing, and as the jail begin to shake, their shackles came off. You want to know why you're still bound? There ain't no shaking going on. But if there be some shaking going on, you know, these sisters going in these clubs and they dropping it like it's hot. But can't nobody drop it like God can. What you mean, Reverend? He can drop some blessings. He can drop some deliverance. He can drop some strength. He can drop some power. How many know God can drop it right in your direction? Shackles came off. Their wrists and their feet were free. And watch this. This is something unusual in the text you may have overlooked. They could have left, but they stayed there. They say the same God that set us free is the same God going to bring us out of this thing. You see, Paul and Silas was glad enough to be set free in the night than to run through the night. And so when they were set free, verse 27 said, and the keeper of the prison woke up. When there is a great move of God, somebody got to wake up. Some of you been asleep since we come back to church from COVID-19. God has been moving since we come back, and you still here asleep. What you mean, preacher? My eyes are wide open, but you still asleep. Because if you are awake, you will get up and say, Lord, you've been good to me. Can I look, I know a lot of us don't move that much in church, and I respect that. But just for one second, can everybody just get up if you're physically able and just say, God, I'm wide awake. You've been good to me. I'm sorry for sitting down on you, but you've been good. The doors were open. The doors were open. Not only were they set free. One last point I got to get to you. Not only were they set free and their shackles fell off, but the doors that were shut in their face came wide open. The prison doors were open. And when the jailer woke up, he saw the prison doors open and the shackles laying on the ground. He was supposing that all of them had fled. And he knew there was a charge given to him that if a prisoner leaves under his watch, he will be beheaded. And so he pulled off his sword and he got ready to take his own life. But here come Paul. Say, God, I know why you kept me in the night. I know why you didn't bring me from the day, because this brother needed to hear from me in the night. He said, brother, do yourself no harm. We are still here. Y'all want to know why I act the way I act with y'all? Because I'm still here. Y'all want to know why I shout the way I shout? Because I'm still here. COVID came and millions have died, but I'm still here. Many are in the hospital, but look at you, you're still here. You've been broke in the past, but you're still here. You've been lied on in the past, but you're still here. You had to make trips to the graveyard, but look at you today. You are still here. He said, do thyself no harm. He said, because we are still here. And can you imagine how good that soldier felt? He said, I can't believe none of you left. I can't believe that you're still right here. He said, no, sir, you have no need to worry. Because we know if we would have left, then it would have endangered your life. He said, don't worry, you will live. And the same jailer that was locking the doors and watching over them, he said in verse 30, he said, sir, what must I do to be saved? In other words, he was saying, what I need to do to get what you got. Who is it that I need to talk to? Look what Paul told him in verse 31. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, not only you, but your whole house. And the Bible says, and he spoke unto him the word of God. Let me end by saying, if God haven't brought you out of the night yet, it's because somebody is gonna need your help. somebody is on the verge of taking that life, and God will allow you to cross their path and tell them that the God that saved me, the God that delivered me, is the same God that can set you free. Is there any